Backseat Box Office, episode number 81 for the weekend of April 6th through the 8th, 2012. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
We are the Backseat Producers. You're listening to Backseat Box Office. Go ahead, gloat, Holmberg.
What? You don't want to gloat a little bit first? You don't want to?
You know what?
It's a little bragging.
It's not even worth it.
But it was. It wasn't. It was an impressive move. You taking Russia on the second turn
for 20 minutes. Tony, you were bathed in a radiant glory
until
Jonathan took it away. Yeah, and then Jonathan took it away from you and spoiled it.
Yeah, so we're talking about our Axis and Allies game. The fourth round. In this round, I am playing the Nazis.
A German army sounds better.
I'm the Nazis. I'm the Nazis.
It's World War II. He's the Nazis.
Yeah, so...
Not much choice.
I had a number of moves that I made that I thought were actually pretty decent.
They were. And to set the stage, we just started this game yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is round two.
We just finished turn two. Yeah.
This is turn two. In turn two, I had set myself up. Actually, in turn one, I had taken Karelia and the Caucasus.
Set yourself up nicely.
Put myself right on the Russian border. Mostly, I was just trying to, you know, establish a little dominance, just spread out my territory, get a couple of more NPLs to build up my IPCs. Mm-hmm. And
I tried to mess with you because I was like, oh, Russia's in trouble. Because I'll be honest, I know he listens, so but I'll be honest. Tad, I don't know what you... I don't understand your strategy, sir. Like, I watch the moves you make, and I am confused.
His one turn strat. Now, to be fair, he had one
turn.
I mean, I'm talking about... we have done three games now.
Yes.
And so... I'm still just... I'm sure there's a method to it. Like, you... I'm not saying there's anything bad. I am just... There are things that confuse me. But... That said, for what it's worth, I did try to distract you by taking Western Europe.
Yeah, so Jonathan was playing, I don't think we stayed, Jonathan's playing the United Kingdom. And yep. He, first turn, staged this brilliant invasion of Western Europe, which the U.S., you know, starts way away from everyone. But I was able to throw a couple infantry and a fighter plane to help hold West Europe. Didn't help. Turn two,
I pulled off a pretty miraculous recovery of Western Europe. And, before my turn, Tad got to move, and he reclaimed the Caucasus. And so I'm sitting up there with Karelia, and at the same time, he actually moved his anti-aircraft gun out of Russia into the Caucasus.
That's one of the things I don't understand.
And that was actually, I would not have been able to pull it off were it not for that. So he does that. I've got Western Europe sitting there that I need to try to do something with because... they're sitting right next to, you know, my homeland. Mm-hmm. And I need to do something. So I kind of looked at all my options and I said, okay, I think I can do this with the forces I can build. I can repopulate the German army. I can reclaim Western Europe. And I am going to put a dent in Russia. Because in our little sidebar, Rich and I said, hey, let's go meet in Russia. So our whole move was just about just coming together in Moscow. So I'm still sitting up there with Karelia. Oh, and I've got some air forces kind of scattered all around that aren't really doing anything. And his anti-aircraft gun is not in Russia anymore. Well, I'm going to move in. So I moved in for the kill. And my first move, actually, I went for Western Europe. And rolled like a son of a bitch and just wiped out the you guys in Western Europe. Took that back over. And I was riding my high. I'd actually done some naval stuff down in the in the med and took out Jonathan. Was it? Yeah, it was your stuff down in the med, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, took out your stuff in the med, then went ahead and marched into Russia and took it. So I'm riding high. I'm like, man, I have just kicked Moscow. Yeah, I have kicked serious ass.
Screw you, Stalin.
Yeah, I took like 25, 30, something like that, points from Tad. I collected my 40 at that point because my turn's over. I'm sitting there with 60 plus. I repopulated my forces in Germany, threw a few in Karelia just because Tad still has the Caucasus and he's got a couple of tanks there and a couple of, he's got three tanks and two infantry. So like he could take Karelia. He could come for Russia.
Yeah.
You know, I have to kind of balance my forces out here. And, you know, I've got a Navy. I got a little bit of a Navy to slow down the British advance if they try to come through in a naval maneuver to Germany. I've got forces in Germany. I'm going to be fine.
Just fine.
And then I ended my turn.
So, and Tony at this point decides to tweet. You know, he's feeling good. He's feeling his oats. He decides to tweet at us.
Hey, to be fair, it was looking pretty good for me.
It was. Yeah. It was. So I get this tweet that says, tanks have entered Moscow. So I just flick over there to take a look at the map. And sure enough, Tony's taking Moscow. I'm like, ah, well, that's probably the game of the end because Russia falling second turn the Axis, it's not good. So then about 20 minutes later, I get this tweet from the Holmberg. And hold on. I actually want to pull this up in front of me.
You need to read it, and it's a direct quote.
I do, and yes, I don't usually swear, but
sensitive listeners.
Did I read this off for you?
No,
sensitive listeners are going to want to cover their ears because it's yeah, deserved.
If there are kids in the room, you may want to ask them to step out for just a minute because Jonathan deserves praise for this because what he did is nothing less than extraordinary. And I've been playing Axis and Allies since I was like six. So I've seen a lot of crazy stuff happen. So I get this tweet, and it's to Rich, myself, Tony. Tad, as far as I know, is not on Twitter, so he was left off. But it's, hey, Hitler, run, motherfucker, run! I'm like, well, that sounds promising. So
yeah.
I click over. And Germany is UK orange. Jonathan's pulled off a naval invasion of Germany. Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Oh, you weren't the only one who couldn't believe it. Man.
So
yeah.
Yeah, I think the best part is the run of comments in the game board messages. Because in the first turn, Andrew said, and this was part of the first turn, I'm currently watching Tony battle over Karelia in real time.
Yeah, I just clicked over to see whose turn it was, and I noticed there's gray German tanks hanging out in red Karelia. I'm like, Tony's in the middle of his turn. I'll just click refresh every couple of minutes and see what happens.
Yeah, so that was the first round. The next thing was, I believe it was either immediately after Jonathan's turn, and it's Andrew saying, wow, just wow.
Then, yeah, that was after Jonathan's
turn. Yeah, that was after Jonathan's turn. Then my comment is, WTF, how did that even happen? Then Rich, Dice Mojo.
Well, the reason Tony had to ask that question was until about...
Okay, and then my last comment, this game hates me.
The reason Tony had to ask that question was that until about 20 minutes ago, he didn't realize there's a game log tab you can click on to see what everyone's done since your last move.
Yeah. Yeah, so that I know that, I might have to actually look at that. I might figure out how to play this game, maybe.
I live and die with that game log, man. That thing entertains me. So that's our Axis and Allies round four update. thank you, gentle listeners, for we decided there's been such an outcry about it and how much you love it, we decided we were just gonna open with it this week.
That's true.
It is. It is. And I've got one other tangent. And we'll get that out of the way. It won't be as good as Axis and Allies.
I have one after yours.
Okay, so. we got two tangents the other way, and then we'll get into the.
I'm never going to get to eat dinner.
No,
you're grandmother-in-law is never going to get to bed.
Well, mine's just 5 minutes. It's I was on vacation last week, and I did some reading. And yes, I refer reading comics on my iPad as reading. And I got to tell you, over the last month or so, I've been reading Atomic Robo trade paperbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Have either of you guys read this?
No, I have not.
You guys should check this out. It's each trade is $4.99. I get it through Comixology. It's also available on the Nook app if you have access to that through some device.
I do. Through my Nook Color.
So $4.99 for a trade. Yeah, depending on which trade, 4 to 6 issues of comics for $4.99. And it is fantastic. It's basically Nikola Tesla back in the early 1900s created a walking talkie atomic robot that he named Atomic Robo.
Nice.
And the trades flip around through time because he's immortal, basically. He's a robot. He's not going to age and die. So, you know, they show him in the future, they show him in the present, they show him through the last 100 years or so. So volume two, and this put this in mind, volume two is called Dogs of War and pretty much shows what he was doing during World War II. It introduces one of the best characters. I mean, I'll be honest. In Volume 3, they introduce H.P. Lovecraft into the series, which is also awesome. But
that is pretty awesome.
They introduce a guy named James Milligan, who's a Scottish commando. And he has just some of the best dialogue ever. Say at the very end, Atomic Robo drags himself out of the English Channel with one hand. And James Milligan's the only other survivor of this mission. He's sitting there hanging out. He's got a fire going. He's relaxing. And as he pulls himself up, he's like, Milligan's like, "You're looking right grubbed." And Robo responds with, "If that's a word for being cut in half and dragging yourself across the seafloor with one hand, then that's a hell of a language you've got there." And, shortly after Robo loses his legs earlier in the early episode, Milligan's basically carrying him around on his back. Half of an atomic robot, and Robo's whining about his legs, and his reply to this was, "Oh, fine, let's go find the wee baby's legs, you crybaby." So
that's fantastic.
Robo's great. It's got great villains like Dr. Dinosaur, Cthulhu, Nazis. I would recommend checking it out. It's cheap. It's put out by Red 5 Comics, which if for those on Twitter may be familiar with Brian Clevenger and Scott Wegner, I want to say. I might get his first name wrong.
Now, how many of these graphic novels are there available?
I'm up through 4. I believe 6 are out currently. Okay. All
right.
The 4 collections that I currently have on my app as I click back to my comics page. There's volume 1, which kind of sets the stage, obviously, and it's just called Atomic Robo. Shocking. Volume 2 is called Dogs of War. Volume 3 is called Shadow from Beyond Time, and Volume 4 is Other Strangeness.
Nice.
And they also, if you have Comixology, they also have the free, pretty much there's an Atomic Robo every free comic book day, and they're available for free, so you can even download one of those and try it out.
Bonus.
So that's my one thing. Awesome. It might have been more than 5 minutes, but Tony, what do you got? Right.
So last week was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. All I really want to do is brag about some of the cool stuff that I got for my birthday.
It's fair.
So first off, Holden and Aaron got me the Marvel Heroic role-playing game, the paperback.
From Margaret Weiss Productions.
From Margaret Weiss Productions. Which includes the PDF copies of the book and all the, like, there's like 6 PDFs that come with it. I'm not very far into it, but it looks really cool so far. I'm looking forward to playing it. In fact, I'm probably mostly going to be running it for Holden and his friends.
I tell you what, Margaret Weiss Productions used to be, for me, a horrible game company. They put out this kind of first-generation Cortex system with games like Supernatural, Firefly, Stargate. I believe they did Stargate. I could be off on that one. But they put out these intellectual property games that are just bad. There's mm-hmm. this generic system, and there's no flavor to it. Cam Banks came on and is doing what they call Cortex Plus. He did Leverage, Smallville. Now he's on the Marvel Heroic RPG, and he is just brought so I give him a lot of credit, whether that's right or not. I think it is, but he's brought so much life into that game company.
Yeah, he is the lead designer, so he at least gets some credit, I would think.
I mean, because they just be dogs of a product. I mean, you could pick it up and read it for the fluff for the whatever intellectual property it's attached to, but the game itself was just awful. And then he has really turned things around with the way he brings to the game mechanics of these games to make each game feel different and make it feel like the genre and property it's representing.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm looking forward to getting into that. The next thing I got was from Julie, and this was going around the internet, and I'll see if I can find a link to it to put within the show notes, because I'm not going to actually put the image because I'm honestly a little bit concerned about copyright issues. But there's an image that have you guys, there's a it's Wookiee the Chew. There's a comic book that was they replaced Winnie the Pooh characters with Star Wars characters. and we got it. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But the same artist has taken different properties and meshed them together like that. And there's an image that was floating around probably, I'd say probably 2-3 months ago, that is Carl and Ellie, the characters from Up, as Princess Leia and Han Solo, and she's kissing his cheek. It's a really neat image, and she got a print for me and framed it and everything, put in really nice, wrote something really nice on the back of it. It's awesome. So very, very happy with that. Last but definitely not least, from my folks, my grandmother, and my father-in-law, I got cash. So I got 3 new mics, mic stands, colored XLR cables, colored windscreens. So I've upgraded some of the equipment here for Bexy Producers, and hopefully made it a little easier on myself getting the color-coded windscreens and cables so I can just look at the board and look at whoever's talking and figure out exactly which cables or which sounds to adjust for everyone. I'm very pleased by this. In fact, I'm using one of the new microphones right now.
Well, I think we should start recording at your place, Tony.
All right. It's not a problem. Come on down.
Jonathan, can you make the commute?
Sure.
Well, if he's in, I'm in. If he's willing to do it, I can't say no.
Let me think. I get off at 6 o'clock. It's a 18-hour drive, I believe. I'll be there Saturday morning.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
Maybe we can talk to Aaron Head about letting us borrow the Ideology of Madness private jet.
There you go.
I prefer a helicopter. No, can you get a helicopter, you know?
No, see, here's the deal.
We watch you chopper.
We record
the watchy chopper.
No. What we do is we get on the jet. I get on the jet here in St. Louis with the equipment, fly to Andrew, pick him up, then we go and pick up Holmberg, and then we start flying back to St. Louis, and that's when we record.
We just do it in the air.
We just record in the air.
Yeah, here's the problem with that. I like where your thinking is. I do. Here's the problem with that. The flight between here and St. Louis, probably like less than an hour.
Yeah.
No, it's a little over an hour. From Kansas City to Denver.
You fuckers can't get this shit done in an hour.
No, that's your Kansas City to Denver was 45 minutes when I flew it. So I'm guessing the extra 200 miles is probably going to get you another, what do you think,
15
minutes?
Yeah, 40, 50 minutes. No, maybe.
It's actually 15, really, 20. It's a really short flight. You'd be surprised. Having made it a couple of times now, it's a surprising short flight.
True. So then what we do is we record the first half of the show before we give our picks on the flight to Vegas. We hang out in Vegas. We hang out in Vegas for an hour or two.
YouTube money.
And
we don't have YouTube.
We could, our fans are generous. Then we fly back to St. Louis, finish off the recording, sober up, and everybody gets home. Probably will take less time overall than we take every week doing this.
It's a fair point. We are some talky type of guys.
Go figure.
And articulate. Don't forget articulate.
Figure. All right, so
neither of those things describes me, and yet somehow I'm still a podcaster.
Hey, Jonathan, did you ever play, or either of you, did you guys ever play the original Fallout?
You know,
I played about an hour of it.
I picked it up from Good Old Games today.
That's what I was just going to mention, because there's probably still going to be about, probably from this drops, will be somewhere between 12 and 24 hours left of get out to goodoldgames.com, and Fallout, the original Fallout is free for download.
Yeah, I saw the tweet come through that somebody retweeted Felicia Day talking about it. I went out to their website, and I couldn't stay connected to their website for more than about 5 seconds for the next 45 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, I just could not stay connected to the site, because all I wanted to do, I wasn't trying to download it. I was at work. I'm not going to download a game at work. Wink, nudge.
Just buying it.
Because it's free. All I have to do is go out and just do the purchase, because then it's in my bin, my shelf of games, and then I'll just later when I get home I'll take care of it. Because to be honest, when I get home, there's wife and kids and making dinner and taking care of the dog and doing just all this crazy stuff, and I forget that happens.
I hear you. I need to remember to set it up before I go to bed tonight so I can hopefully download while I'm sleeping.
The 500 meg of it?
Yep.
Yeah, I figured I'll wait until like Saturday when everybody's already bought it and has been trying to download it for 2 or 3 days straight. And maybe I'll just wait till Sunday because it's Easter.
So the trick is, I think I already paid for it.
What better way to celebrate Easter than to resurrect an old game?
I'm on board with that analogy right there. I'm okay with that. I could suggest some other ways, but that's a good one too. That's more clever than my ways.
So, what happened this week?
All right, it was good for our community as a whole. It was pretty good for me, not as good for the rest of people. So, I'm going to give you, I believe, what 16 people picked for their top five, and it's also what happened.
Yeah.
The Hunger Games stayed at number one. I don't think anyone was surprised by that. It made $58.5 million, dropped 61%. Did have a big drop, but the next closest thing to it was at number two, where Wrath of the Titans opened with $33.4 million. Mirror, Mirror, this is what threw me, Uriah, and a couple people off. Mirror, Mirror came in number three with $18.1 million. About $3.3 million behind it was 21 Jump Street at number four. It dropped 27%. Very gentle drop, but still couldn't get it. And then at number five, Dr. Seuss's The Lorax, still hanging in there, $7.7 million, which if you're keeping track at home puts it $5.7 million ahead of John Carter, which was at number six.
This week was just crazy good. We said last week was the best average the best average score we've ever had. This week beat it.
Yeah. So what was the average this week?
Give me just a second. I'm going to look that up unless Lena beats me to it in the chat room. I might not be looking it up. I might just be waiting for her.
By the way, Matt, while she's looking it up, mad props to Lena's Green Army of Death in our Risk game. She woofed all of us well this past round.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she was saving it up.
She was. I mean, we had this four-way going on between Tim, Tony, myself, and Lena, and I think she'd been slow playing us, and then finally she just brought the thunder this round.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was... How did I get dropped out of those Risk games, by the way?
You said you were...
You were complaining about Risk?
Yes.
So we stopped inviting you?
If you're ready to get back in, we'll get you back in.
When was I ever complaining about Risk?
You complained about it on this podcast.
At least, I mean, it was when I was still on, so it's been at least a couple weeks.
It was a couple of weeks ago. You're like, oh, all these Risk games. It to be fair, it was kind of random. So I don't know if it was legitimately complaining or that's just how we interpreted it.
Apparently you guys are just dicks.
It may have been one of those "who will rid me of this troublesome priest" type situations that we overinterpreted your words. And now Lena, she weighs in. Apparently, our average for the show, which 20-some people think I played this week, was 24.4 points.
That is insane.
That is ridiculous.
There was only one 21.
Yes, there were three 23s. There was four 121. 23s. Oh, is there four?
Yep. Yeah, it's four.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Four 23s, 121, 1625. So 21 people played, and their average was 24.4.
Yeah. No. 20 people played. One person forgot to play, and they're Adam Mulligans.
Who was that?
It's the score that's not in a round number.
I'm looking at the week. Is it the week 30? Oh, no. This hasn't been updated yet.
It should have been.
Through date 4-1-12?
Oh, that part might. Yeah.
I don't see anyone under season 2 week 30 results that has a decimal point with a number behind it.
Oh, okay. I haven't looked.
Tell me. What are you doing?
I'm not doing it anymore.
What are you doing?
I trained somebody else to do it.
Messing. Oh, and you're doubting her?
So apparently 21 people play.
Oh, the score. There is a score on here that is.
Okay, well, we're going to table this.
Anyway.
Let's get this train back on track. It was a good week.
It was a great week.
Look, did I get a 25? Yes.
You did.
Did Tony get a 25?
Did Tony get a 25?
That happened, yes.
Did Andrew get a 23 because he switched Mirror Mirror and 21 Jump Street?
Yes, and that's why we were confident that our picks were more correct.
I listened to this when I was in on vacation last week, and I may have yelled at my radio a few times. My iPod, I guess, is what I was listening to it on.
In despair that you picked wrong, or
no, it was more you guys made a comment that I wanted to reply to, and so since I was not here for the recording, I thought yelling at my iPod would be an acceptable substitute.
Do we remember what that comment is? Because I would like to hear your reply.
Well, there was a couple. This wasn't the big ones. The one where you're like, now that we've listened to Andrew's picks, I feel much more confident. I was like, ah, you ass. But one of the ones where I started yelling was the, well, you know, Andrew was supposed to do first. When we have his voicemail, we should just go ahead and play it. And then one of you, I don't remember which one, came up with the idea of, you know, let's wait till after we give our picks. Then we can say Andrew's just did-o-ing us.
That was me.
Yeah, I want to say that was Holmberg.
Yeah, that was me.
That's a Holmberg kind of move.
Yeah. I was like, ah, you asses. And then there were a couple other things that I felt the need to speak up to, but I don't recall off the top of my head, to be honest, any more than that. But this coming week, obviously, two movies. It's kind of weird. Titanic 3D opened on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so we have some daily. We have dailies for Wednesday, which, according to what I'm looking at, Titanic 3D made $4.3 million on Wednesday, which put it in second place behind The Hunger Games, which made $4.6 million.
Yes.
Yeah. So do we need to talk about the Titanic besides saying it's the re-release in 3D?
It's the re-release in 3D?
It's I think it's top 10 on one of the top 10 highest grossing ever charts. It's in the top 10. I think it's not adjusted for inflation. Domestic, I think, is which one it's on.
All right, so
no, wait.
Yes,
wait.
I'm waiting.
What's this movie about?
Seriously.
All right, so here's the scoop.
Are you trolling me?
No. Here's the scoop.
Who's in this movie?
Jack.
What?
Rose. Boat. Gun. Water. Rats. Kids and mom cuddled together in the bed as the water rises.
That's what the good, about. But you left out lying old woman.
Whoa, no, wait. The heart of the sea. Charcoal drawings of boobies.
Yeah, that
happened. Oh, that movie.
That
ooh,
movie.
Ooh.
Not the only part I paid attention to.
Hand on the
moist window.
Moist window, yes.
Yeah.
You know what? That has got to be one of the most iconic images from that movie. It is just so that I really do like just that image of that hand on the window.
It's been used in so many parodies.
It is. it's easy to use that way because everybody knows what it's from.
That's right.
And everybody knows what's happening in there.
Bow, chicka, chicka, bow, bow.
They're running a humidifier, and somebody's trying to get out.
It's a spa. They've turned the inside of the car into a sauna.
And they've got their
they're stretching. They're blindfolded. Stretching their arm.
They've got the towel over their eyes so they can't see. So they're reaching for the handle.
That's not two pillows. So this movie will probably do well. I don't know. It's in 2,674 theaters. What do you guys think about it?
I think that's exactly the same number of theaters it originally opened in.
Seriously?
Seriously, I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, that was on Box Office Mojo's thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's also
it's the 100-year anniversary of the Titanic sinking.
Which is, apparently he's had this prepared for a while. And as the date approached, they just kind of, they're using it as part of the celebrations. It's an odd thing.
Remembrance.
That's a better word, but it really seems to be kind of like a celebration.
Well, and I actually knew it was the 100-year because I have just recently started watching Downton Abbey, which in the very first episode starts with them getting the telegram saying, "Hey, Titanic sank."
I tried to watch that show.
Let me tell you what made it watchable for me. Mm-hmm. I watched the first episode by myself, and I was like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And then I sat down and watched the first episode with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spent about 20 minutes talking about what happened in the episode together. And then suddenly it became a lot more fun when you have that, for me at least, to have that other person to talk to afterwards about all the horrible things people are doing to each other.
I watched it at first with my wife, and we just kept looking at each other going, "This really is kind of boring."
So, Andrew, what I'm hearing from you is that you are podcast failing in that you had a 20-minute long conversation about media that I don't have any recordings of to release as Backseat Downton Abbey.
I'll be honest. Only got one mic.
You can share.
So?
It's intimate. It's cozy that way. You can share. Cozy. It's your wife. You should be able to be comfortable.
You can be back a little bit from it. You can both be sharing it. That's sound quality doesn't have to be, you know, NPR.
She could sit on your lap, and you could share the mic that
cozy.
Way. It's nice and cozy, and it, you know, it makes pantsless.
And then we'll find out why it's really better in the backseat.
Yeah, and it makes pantsless podcasting all the more fun.
So many things I want to say. Must hold it in.
Somebody tell me about American Reunion.
It's another American Pie movie.
Eugene Levy's in it.
Is there any reason I should care about this movie?
How old are you?
30 something.
No reason to care.
If the answer was 14, yeah, because that's probably a movie you could go see and see things that you probably shouldn't because it's rated R.
Well,
but maybe
if you were 20, I would say you might have a reason to go see this movie. But no, once you hit your 30s, no, there's no reason to see this.
No.
I mean, I saw the first American Pie when I was 20-ish and enjoyed it, but it doesn't quite hold up as you get older.
Yeah, they came in what, 99?
I don't have it within reach.
Yeah, so how does that math work? This is a reunion and they were the class of 1999.
Was it 99?
Yeah.
You don't sound confident.
I'm fairly confident about the year. But even if it was 2000, how does that work? They're going to have a 12 or 13 year reunion? What?
This is movie time. It doesn't necessarily follow with normal linear time. And you're right. It was July 9th, 1999 was when it was released.
So there you go.
Your movie foo is strong.
Was that their class? Like, were they seniors in that movie?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, they were.
They went to prom in that movie.
Yeah, because they were trying to get laid before prom.
But it wasn't like junior prom or
no.
Sophomore prom?
No.
They didn't get held back a couple of years?
Stifler might have.
Stifler might have, yeah.
But no.
New American Reunion movie. It's opening in 3,191 theaters. Woo!
Yay.
Someone's going to do something with a flute.
Well, that was the best part of the first American Pie movie right there. She
that delivery was hilarious. And, of course, this was like pre-Jackhole spoiling things on the internet. So when we're
– yep,
when, because Julie and I saw this in the theater, and we're sitting there watching it, and she says that, and it was just – it was jaw-dropping. Not because it was shocking or anything like that, but it was just because the way she delivered it and how it was just so unexpected from that character. It was awesome.
Allison Hannigan, you know, I had not seen Buffy at that point in my life, so this was my first exposure to her as a on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was fantastic because I was a band nerd myself. And so it was just great. It was going along, going along, going along, all these cliches of being a band nerd. And then it gets to the that flutes line at the prom. And you're like, it just blew me away. And ever since then, I've been, you know, then eventually I did watch all 7 seasons of Buffy and How I Met Your Mother. And now I'm an Allison Hannigan fan. So, but that started the relationship. So 2 movies. You know what I know? I know I don't have to pick first this week.
That's right. I guess it's me. So I'm kind of torn here. Like my top 3 keep fluctuating.
Morphine.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to work from the bottom up this time.
Just, does it help if I tell you that American Pie 2 opened at $45.1 million this opening weekend in 2001?
No.
No.
All right.
No, because they've had, what, three
most
American
of those,
Pie.
Most of those are straight to DVD, though.
Well, there's been actually about 6 American Pie movies total.
It's been 8 years since the last theatrical release.
Right, right. Yeah, so there was American Pie, American Pie 2.
The wedding one.
American Wedding. Those were the theatricals. Excuse me. Then there was...
all kinds of DVD releases.
Yeah, there was like...
You don't need to mention.
Yeah,
like, The Naked Mile.
Guys are barreling camp. It right now. You know that, right?
Band Camp. So, yeah. Yeah. And then... and so we have this one. I don't think that it's necessarily going to correlate to those original box office numbers. It might.
There might be a lot of nostalgia out there amongst some people, although I don't know them.
Yeah. Well, and The Hunger Games is still The Hunger Games.
It did drop 60% last weekend, though.
Well, because everybody and their brother who read the book went and saw it the opening weekend.
True.
What was its total?
The Hunger Games was $58.5 million.
Yeah. I think I'm going to actually... I'm going to go ahead and start at the top. I'm gonna stick...
Just for a second, I thought you said you're going to take your mulligan.
Yeah. I get 2, right? No. Number 1, I'm going to actually stick with The Hunger Games. I think it's still got legs. Number 2... I was going to say American Reunion, but seeing how much Titanic made on a Wednesday, man, that, yeah, I'm going to go Titanic at number 2. American Reunion at number 3. Wrath of the Titans at number 4, and Mirror Mirror at number 5. Titans and Mirror Mirror, I think, are pretty much 4 and 5. I can't understand how they would not be based on how much they made before, and it's just those top 3 are still kind of vexing me. But yeah, so Hunger Games, Titanic, American Reunion, Wrath of the Titans, and Mirror Mirror. Holmberg, go ahead.
Prognosticate?
No. Bring your forces into Germany by sea and destroy my dreams.
Wipe out your navy. Wipe out Berlin.
Tony, did you just play your turn?
No.
Oh, okay. The way you said that made me feel like you just finished and passed the turn along to Jonathan.
No, it was an allegory for what's going to happen.
Yeah, I made my turns, and I'm glorious on top, and then he's going to come through and just dash my dreams.
And I get that. I get that. But to be fair...
it's the way today has gone.
To be fair, in the past, we have done exactly that where we've been playing the game as we record.
That's true, but Ted hasn't taken his turn yet.
To be fair, you are kind of a Nazi.
Hey.
You know, spiffy dresser, I'll take it.
Hugo Boss.
All right.
Just following orders, man.
Hugo.
I
there's these two Nazis in Atomic Robo 2. They open this bag and find it full of explosives, and one right before it goes up goes, "Damn it, I don't even like Hitler." The whole place goes up. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Oh.
Or I can talk some more Atomic Robo while you think, if you need me to.
No.
Okay.
I like these top three.
I can talk about how we've been reading Walking Dead.
I read the first volume of that over the break as well.
Boy, have you seen any of the TV show?
Not a one.
Hunger Games, American Reunion, Titanic, Wrath of the Titans, Mirror Mirror.
That's actually what I have written down, and I changed it as I was talking. Yeah.
Well, the top three could be anything. I mean, they have all three movies have the potential to be around $30 million, between $20 and $30 million. Titanic could be huge. It could be ginormous.
It could be.
It could
pull a $70 million weekend.
Also 45 hours long, and so you're only going to have one showing of it every day in a theater.
Yeah, it's 3 hours long, but it's also meant to be seen in 3D, so there's extra money being thrown at every ticket. I mean, there's you can balance that out every different way. American Reunion
is disturbingly popular despite being disturbingly useless, and Hunger Games could continue on. I think they're all just primed for that. Any one of them could fall anywhere in between $20 and $30 million.
Yeah, I'm not predicting an average score of 23 or above this week.
And I just feel like my worry is Titanic, because Titanic is the real spoiler.
Yeah.
Like, I think Hunger Games and maybe American Reunion could be real close, but Titanic could be huge.
Mm-hmm.
It could drop $50 million this weekend.
It could also blow its wad on Thursday and Wednesday.
Yeah, it could also just drop. I mean, I knew people that went 9, 10, 11 times to see this stupid movie in the theater.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, so that could happen again, or it could just be trash, you know, and because apparently Paramount or whoever was releasing it is only estimating $15 million for the weekend.
That is ridiculous. That is just dumb.
Well, I mean, it made $4 million on Wednesday alone, but
well, this was prior to their. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So I think I'm going to err on. I think the lowest Hunger Games drops is second.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to err on the side of putting Hunger Games first, because American Reunion could be third. Titanic could be third. But I think no matter what happens, Hunger Games is going to be second at worst. So yeah. I think I'm less likely to lose a bunch of points by putting Hunger Games at first. And I think Titanic is just too long and too old, and I'm not sure that people really care that much about it anymore.
Titanic has a stigma, especially of for an age of people.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, it was huge at one point, but I just don't think it's going to be huge again.
Oh, Julie's going to see it in the theater.
Yeah, I mean, hold up there. I mean, I think you may be going down the path of using our feelings about the movie and applying them to people who have the exact opposite feelings we do.
You know what?
Because there are a gazillion people who will go see this movie who really like it, whether they see it or not, who have great memories of it.
Yeah, but I think that there are also people who have already seen it a gazillion times. And yeah. You know,
but it's in 3D, Jonathan. It's in 3D.
Yeah, and I don't think 3D is that big of a draw anymore.
That iceberg's gonna be coming right at you.
The only counter to the argument that people aren't interested in 3D is people have a long enough memory to remember how fascinated they were to go see Avatar in 3D, and that's James Cameron also.
But the other thing is that was shot in and for 3D. This has been converted.
That matters to geeks.
No, I don't think it matters to geeks. I think there's a stigma against converted 3D. I think people go to those and don't like them. You know, I think if you look at Clash of the Titans. It didn't do that well domestically because it was converted and people didn't like the look of it. People reacted badly to it. And so they reacted as badly to Clash of the Titans here as they reacted positively to Avatar, which was made for 3D. And so you'll see a lot of places that are talking about how this is actually made for 3D, you know, shot in 3D as opposed to converted to. That seems to be making a difference, you know. So, I don't know. Anyway, Andrew.
Well, I would point you, when you say no one cares about 3D, I think I would point you to The Lion King 3D. That's an example of a movie that came out not that long ago where it made a lot of money because a lot of people wanted to go see it. And you could say and maybe that's less for the 3D.
And Beast 3D.
I never liked that movie, so.
And I think that was the difference, too, is that a lot of people use The Lion King 3D as an opportunity to see The Lion King on the big screen again.
But don't you think that could apply here?
I absolutely believe it could apply here.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, I think it still comes down to, I think all three of these movies are going to, could be anywhere between $20 and $30 million. And maybe one of them has a chance to break out. Any one of them has a chance to break out. Maybe Hunger Games doesn't drop but 10% and stays at 40 million. Maybe American Reunion has some huge resurgence. But they all three of them, you can make that argument for all three of these movies.
Yeah. I agree.
The Hunger Games' huge drop last week was just because that was it leveling off, and now we're going to see much smaller drops. Maybe American Reunion comes out huge. Maybe Titanic comes out huge. Maybe nobody cares about American Reunion. Maybe nobody cares about Titanic. Maybe nobody cares about Hunger Games anymore.
Really?
Any argument you can make for any one of these doing great or poorly can be made for all three of them. And so
I think Hunger Games, I think Hunger Games has a predictable path.
Yeah.
I think Titanic, if it's going to be an outlier, it's going to be an outlier to the positive.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is more likely to surprise us and have a bigger box office rather than surprise us and have a smaller box office.
Mm-hmm.
And I think American Reunion, the opposite. I think it could be on that same path, that middle of the road path right alongside Hunger Games, or the outlier is that it could draw, it could be far less than that. I don't think the outlier for American Reunion is going to be ahead above Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I switched mine, because I think Titanic really does have the potential to elevate and go above that. I don't see it really dropping too far below, though.
I would agree with that.
Using Hunger Games as kind of the median bar there.
Yeah, I tend to agree with both you in what you just said, so I'm not going to repeat any of it to try to look smart. I'm just going to give you my picks. I'm not an intellectual. I'm just a simple farm boy. And this is what this is, blah, 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 blah. Number one, I'm going to put Hunger Games. I agree. It might not be. It could be anywhere in the top three. Number two, Titanic. I really kind of want to put Titanic number one, but I'm afraid it might burn me. So in my gut, I feel like Titanic's going to have a breakout weekend, but I'm not willing to risk it. And if those two flip-flop, well, I'll get a 22 and say lovey. Number three, American Reunion. I'm also kind of worried this may make almost no money whatsoever, but there you go. I'm more worried about it bombing than anything. And number four, Wrath, and number five, Mirror. So in case you're paying attention at home, that would be Ditto Tony.
Booyah.
Then Lena, she got her picks in, and she did what I wanted to do. she had the bravery to do this. She put Titanic number one, Hunger Games number two, American Reunion number three, Wrath number four, and number five, Mirror. So basically, she flip-flopped one and two from Tony and I picks, and that's what my heart wanted me to pick this week. So
Lena's dittoing Uriah this week.
I have not seen Uriah's picks, but I trust your judgment, so yes.
So I think using an old parlance that we used a little while back in this podcast, Lena's big balling it.
Much like Jonathan big balled his way into Germany, Lena's going to big ball her way into a 25 this weekend.
I think that is possible.
I wouldn't put it past any of these movies or anyone. As long as you have these three movies in your top three picks and Wrath and Mirror Mirror, I wouldn't put it past anybody to get a 25 as long as that's your.
Yep. Yeah. I'm in complete agreement there.
After the last 4 weeks or so where things have been pretty easy, this is our kind of first dive back into uncertainty.
And have you guys seen the movies that are coming out over the next couple of weeks? It's going to start getting interesting again.
Well, you know what? Avengers comes out in like 27 days. That's all I care about.
And that is the only movie coming out that day.
Well, who would go up against the Avengers, really?
No, I don't know.
I mean, the best exotic Marigold Hotel is releasing from Fox Searchlight, but who's going to put a big release movie out against the Avengers?
That's true. That is true.
In first position, which I think may be a John Holmes documentary. I'm not sure. From IFC comes out that day, too. It's not rated yet, and there's absolutely no information about it on Box Office Mojo, except that's a documentary. So... Speaking of that, may not be true at all then.
You know, we haven't mentioned this in a while, but if you guys are listening and you're not doing anything on Thursday nights, you really need to come to the chat room. There's an interesting conversation that is going on here that is not ironically talking about items that can be purchased at an adult sex toy store. I'm not even joking right now.
Here's my thought. If you ever think we're distracted and not really paying attention to what each other, like if I repeat something Tony said 5 minutes ago and you're like, was he not listening? No, I probably wasn't. I was probably in the chat room talking.
Either that or making his plays on gamesbyemail.com. Ding.
I do love me some Gambit.
There was whatever happened to you guys joining me on Yucatan.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yucatan Day.
Yucatan.de.
Yeah, I need to get that link back. Because those syllables you just said, I can't translate that.
It's kind of German, like your Nazi that, face.
Hey, .de, mofo, suck it.
All right, well, you know, before this devolves into something that may get us some sort of fine from the FCC, we'll just come on.
We're not in Germany. We can talk about Nazis.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap this bad boy up. Because you know what? There's someone waiting to use this bed in this office behind me. And you need to eat something, Jonathan, before you pass out.
I think I hear Holmberg's stomach growling.
It could be that, or it could be the follicles of hair in his hand growing larger.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
Until next week, we'll see you in the backseat.
Hey, and happy Easter.
Happy Good Friday.